April 30th. Can you imagine it's been 3 years since we were able to serve together? Let's take a look at this clip and as an inspiration for how many people showed up then and how we were able to serve as a church. April 30th. Don't forget to register. I can't. can't wait to see you all there. Have a couple announcements for you today. So first off, we have some nomination packages available.
That's right. If you would know somebody who would like to be on the Servant Leadership Board, we have a few vacancies for the 2022-2023 term. So if you'd like to nominate them, there is a package you need to fill out, and that is available on our website under the Resource tab. Or if you like paper copies like myself, there is a paper package at both campuses for available for pickup. Those need to be back May 12th, though.
Perfect. And we also have an event coming up on April 30th.
Yes. Have you registered for Serve the City yet?
Yeah, I have not.
So apparently she hasn't. If you, like Christina, have been thinking about registering for Serve the City but haven't yet, there are a registration booth at each campus at Wilkinson Road or at Centennial Park, and somebody wants to help you do that. So visit them after the service. If you're joining us online, you can go to the website. There's a big blue button on the homepage there after you scroll down a little bit, and that will help you out.
Sweet. And if there are families who are wanting to serve together, are there a couple family-friendly spots?
There sure are. This year, we're going to be serving CRD in Saanich Parks. So we have Thetis Park, where there'll be a trail cleanup, and at South Valley Park, just down the road from us, where we're going to do a invasive species cleanup.
Perfect. So I invite you to head to our website or at the back of the auditorium and sign up, because it is coming up quick.
That's right. Saturday, April 30th.
Awesome. That is all the announcements we have for you. So have a wonderful week.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It is so good to be with you as we are able to worship our God on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. I invite you to stand with us if you would like to, and I'm just going to read this call to worship based on Revelation 15. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. You alone are holy. All the earth will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed for all to see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness. you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness. Goodness. give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. because you are great. And not only that, but God, you invite us into your goodness and into your greatness. And I just pray that this week you would be opening our hearts and minds as to how we can walk in that and how we can show others this week of your goodness and your greatness. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, thanks, Jill and team, and good morning, everyone that is here in person at WRC, and good morning also to all of you who are watching online this morning. And I'm sure all of us are aware that last Sunday we celebrated Easter, which undoubtedly is the most important day in the Christian church calendar, and yet I think all of us would agree it's so easy to celebrate Easter and Christ's resurrection and then move on into the coming weeks like nothing has really changed in our lives. And it's for this reason that many, many years ago, the church calendar was created, and the church calendar celebrates what's called a 50-day season of Eastertide. And it's that time between the resurrection and Pentecost Sunday. And during the season of Easter time, we take note of the things that Jesus did and said after his resurrection. And so today, as we start as a church following the church calendar through the season of Eastertide, we're going to read the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples, especially his encounter with Thomas. So let me read that for us. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, says this. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side, and stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Amen. Just before I give you a couple of announcements, I haven't forgot. It's time for the kids to be dismissed. Shyla is in the back. Go see Shyla. She is back there for you. And just before we get into God's Word together and I pray for us before that, I got a couple of announcements. Next Saturday we're starting up something again we have not done for 2 years. It's served the city. And if you have been part of Saanich for several years, you know pre-COVID, we took one Saturday morning every May or June, we took a Saturday morning, and we went out to many organizations, parks, other places, and we served the city together. We got the congregation here, we got the congregation out at CPC, put them together, and we went out all over the city and served the city in the name of Jesus. And we haven't been able to do it because of COVID, but we're starting again next Saturday with Serve the City. And if you have a bulletin this morning, you'll see this little brochure there that's telling you where we're serving. The Compassionate Warehouse is already filled, but we still have spots, and we need lots of people to sign up. The sign-up's been kind of weak. I know everybody's wondering with COVID and everything. It's going to be a great time. Victoria Transition House, Thetis Lake, the church barbecue team, and South Valley Park. We need people to sign up for these. It's from 9 to 12, and then we come back here and we have a barbecue. It is an amazing time not only to serve, but get connected with other people. And I really want to encourage you to sign up. And here's how you can sign up. You can go to the back after the service today, and there's sign up sheets there. You can sign up with the old-fashioned way with the pen. You can go onto our website if I get boring during the sermon, and you can sign up on our website. Or you can go back and you'll see there's QR codes on the sign up posters, and you can just put your phone down, hit the QR code, and I'll take you to a sign up. And make sure if you don't have one of these after you sign up, you get one of our coveted new looking blue Serve the City shirts. Now that makes you want to sign up just for a shirt, doesn't it? But if you sign up and get a shirt, you got to show up, all right? And we are known. And it's funny, when we were doing this pre-COVID, Saanich Parks called us the blue shirt people. I mean, because we went out with our blue shirts and we signed up. So I really want to encourage you to sign up for Serve the City. First time we've done it in 2 years, it's going to be awesome. One other announcement, and if you've looked at the bulletin today, you can see the financial update is in there in the bulletin, and you can see we have a significant deficit, $88,000. Now, our fiscal year runs from September to August, and right now we are in an $88,000 deficit, and actually getting to the point where we're going to have to go into our operating line of credit, which isn't great. Now, if you know church world, we're not the only church struggling with finances. You know, COVID has done a number on many, many organizations, not just churches, but we are certainly struggling, and we're down two staff members. We have not replaced two staff members who have left, and yet we still have this deficit. And basically what's happened is we had a really weak giving this year in December. Normally, our giving is really strong in December, and it carries us through the first couple of months of the new year. That didn't happen. We had a weak giving December, and the weak giving has continued into the new year. And so we are in this deficit position, and Gerald Mickers, one of our servant leaders, is going to address this more next week in a video. But I just want to encourage the church to be praying. God's doing good things. The best days of Saanich are in front of us, and yet we're running a deficit, and I just know what I need to do is ask the church to pray about that. So if you can pray about that, that would be great. But let me pray for all of us, and then we'll get into God's Word together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have next Saturday to go out all over the city and serve in the name of Jesus. Not only serve, but build community, to be together in community. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to do this. I pray, God, that you will move in a powerful way in the city as we go out and serve the city. God, too, I know that this is your church, not our church. Father, I know that you can work miracles. And God, I just lift up the finances of the church to you and ask that you will work in powerful ways. And God, thank you that your word is powerful. And as we look this morning at this story, I pray it'll speak to us. I pray it'll speak to us in a powerful way as we continue in our series, Do It Again. God, I really believe as we come out of COVID that you want to do a fresh work amongst us. And so speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with this question. Here it is, right here on the screen. Does God talk to you? Does God talk to you? Now, for some of you, instantly, you may feel uncomfortable with that question. Others of you, it may bring up the images of crazy people that say God talked to them. You've all heard about the crazy people who think God talked to them. But I want you to think about it a minute. Does God talk to you? We often talk about having a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. And if you're in a relationship with someone, it would actually be really weird if they didn't talk to you. I mean, I've been married for almost 39 years now. Imagine if my wife and I never talked to each other. Imagine the kind of relationship we would have. Here's the truth. The truth is God loves to speak to people. God loves to speak. We see that all through the Bible. And as we continue in our series today, Do It Again, we're going to look at the story of a 12-year-old boy who heard from God. And the story is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find young Samuel living in the temple with a priest named Eli. Now, Eli was mentoring Samuel as Samuel served in the temple. And so we're going to look at this story today, and we're going to see what we can learn together about hearing from God from an Old Testament story and how that speaks into our lives in the 21st century. The story begins actually not with God speaking, but with God's silence. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Eli's fading vision actually is quite symbolic of that period in Israel's history, that the nation of Israel was in a time of spiritual darkness. The priesthood was corrupt, the spiritual condition of the nation was in decline, and messages and visions from God were rare. And yet you notice it said there, the lamp of God had not gone out. The priests in the temple were required to keep the lamps burning in the temple every night from evening to morning. And yet here again with that phrase, we have some rich symbolism. Yes, messages and visions from the Lord were rare, but God had not given up on his people. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And it was late at night, or perhaps just before dawn, when Samuel heard someone calling him. Verse 4, suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, replied Samuel. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Samuel went running to Eli and said, here I am. Eli said, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. So Samuel headed back to bed, and then God called him again in verse 6. Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You might be wondering, how come Samuel didn't know it was God? Why didn't he know it was God calling him? You find the answer in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from God, from the Lord before. God had never spoken to Samuel before. So naturally, and you would have done the same thing, Samuel assumed it was Eli that was calling him. And then in verse 8 it says, so the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Finally, Eli figured out what was going on. He told Samuel, now go back to bed. And this time when you hear the words, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel headed back to bed, verse 10. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Samuel responded just as Eli told him to, and he said, speak, your servant is listening. Samuel asked God to speak, and God spoke. However, it was probably not the message that Samuel was expecting to hear. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Here God confirmed an earlier message of judgment that he had brought against Eli. Eli's sons had sinned. Eli had failed to restrain them or correct them. And so now Eli's house would be removed from the priesthood. the words of God's earlier prophecy would come about. They would be fulfilled. Now, the only question is, what's Samuel going to do with what he's heard from God? Remember, he's just a 12-year-old boy. Eli is an aged priest. He's a spiritual leader. I mean, think about it. This is a pretty heavy message for a 12-year-old boy to deliver to an aging priest. It was going to take courage. And yet, look at verse 15. Samuel stayed in bed in the morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid, no kidding, to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And God may strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold back anything. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." Samuel faithfully told Eli everything God had told him. He left nothing out. And look how the story closes in verse 19. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. After Samuel showed himself faithful as a prophet to Eli, God made him a prophet to all of Israel. It's a wonderful story. But it's not just a wonderful story. There are some lessons there for us today. And I want to share with you four lessons about hearing God from the story of Samuel. Here's lesson number one. Lesson number one, God desires to speak to us. God desires to speak to us. We just need to learn to listen. Jesus said this in John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. My sheep listen to my voice." My sheep, Jesus says, know my voice. Do you know his voice? Do you know the voice of his spirit? If this is not yet your experience, I want to encourage you. The right response is not to lower your expectations or change your theology. Rather, the correct response is to learn to hear his voice. A few years ago, Sylvia and I were at the Calgary Stampede, and we were there. We'd been visiting in Calgary, and we had a day to kill, and we were flying out in the evening, so we went to the Stampede. But it was the year of the Stampede, the floods that happened in Calgary, so there wasn't a ton going on at the Stampede when we were there that day. And we're wandering around, and Sylvia says, "Let's go watch the sheepdogs." Hang on, what? Watch the sheepdog, herd a bunch of sheep, big deal. But we went in and I became addicted to watching this sport. Have you ever seen this happen? It's amazing. It's a competition to see how quickly the sheepdog can corral the sheep. And it is incredible how fast these dogs do it. But here's the trick. The dogs know their master's voice. They respond in an instant to their master's voice. And it's not even the sheep, the guy that owns the sheepdog, the master of the sheepdog. I don't know what you call him. Yeah, the shepherd, whatever you call him. That guy, right, the shepherd. Anyway, the dude that owns the sheepdog, he doesn't even speak. He makes these weird clicking sounds and other noises. And the sheep, out of all the noise around in that arena, that dog hears those clicks and those groans and those grunts from his master and responds. And it is a beautiful, amazing thing to watch. And likewise, I would suggest to you that we need to become like the sheepdog. We need to hear our master's voice. We need to know the voice of his spirit. And I'm convinced, I know that every single one of us who follow Jesus can learn to hear and to know his voice. Lesson number one is God wants to speak to us. But here's lesson number two. Lesson number two is we are often deaf. God wants to speak, but we're deaf. Sometimes we're like Samuel. We don't recognize his voice. I mean, Samuel wasn't expecting God to speak to him. He thought it was Eli. We can be the same way. The Spirit of God can be speaking to you. And we'll talk about some ways the Spirit can speak in a few minutes. But the Spirit of God can be speaking to you. And if you're not expecting God to speak to you, you can be like Samuel and miss it. Or sometimes we're like Eli. We don't hear from God because we're kind of like spiritually sluggish. I mean, it took Eli 3 times to figure out what was going on. And we can be like that too. And sometimes we're like Eli's sons. We don't hear God because we're disobedient. You're never going to hear the Spirit speak to you if you're living in open rebellion to the way God clearly wants you to live. If you're living in open rebellion to the way God wants you to live, you're not going to hear his voice. And let me give you one more reason why people don't hear God speaking today. In our culture in particular, we're so busy and we're so distracted that we can't hear God over the noisy and the busy. Did you notice that God didn't speak to Samuel during the busyness of the day? He spoke to him in the quietness of the evening. When Samuel was still. And a big reason we don't hear from God is that we don't make time to be still and to listen. If you want to hear God, get quiet. Here's lesson number three. Lesson number three is God speaks to us in many different ways. And I could spend hours talking about different ways, but let me just give you a few ways that God speaks to us today. Number one, through the Bible. Through the Bible. Down through the ages, Christ followers have found the Bible to be a powerful way of hearing from God. And maybe you've had that experience. Maybe you're sitting there and you're reading the Bible and a phrase or a verse just kind of jumps off the page and just grabs you. That is God's Spirit speaking to you through his word. I was reading, I use the Book of Common Prayer a lot for my devotional life, and just at the beginning of Lent, I was reading and I read Psalm 51. It was actually Ash Wednesday. I was reading the Ash Wednesday service in the Book of Common Prayer, and there is Psalm 51 there. And as I was reading through the service and I hit Psalm 51, the Spirit just spoke to me and said, I want you to sit in that psalm through Lent. I want you to read that psalm each day as you go through Lent. And let me speak to you through that psalm. And maybe you've had a similar experience where you're reading along, you're reading God's word, and you just feel like the Spirit is speaking to you about something in the word. And there's a particular way to read the Bible that really helps open you up to God speaking to you through his word. And it's called Lectio Divina. It's an ancient way of reading the Bible. And I did a sermon on it in September of 2019. So if you're interested in looking at that way of doing it, you can go through our sermon archives on our website and you can find that sermon, Lectio Divina, September 2019. But here's something simple you can start doing this week. When you read your Bible, come to it with the expectation that you're going to hear from God. Don't just read your Bible, let your Bible read you. And so come to it with an expectation you're going to hear God. And as you get ready to read God's word, be like Samuel and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So the Bible is certainly one way we hear from God. Here's another one, your circumstances. God can speak to you through the circumstances of your life. I'll give you a dramatic example from my life way back before some of you were born, November 1989. And I was, before, you know, the fall of 89, people were saying to me, you know, you should go into ministry full time. And I'm like, nope, no interest in being a pastor, and I'm really happy with my career. I was a paramedic with the BC Ambulance Service. I was teaching at the Justice Institute of British Columbia. I was happy, but everybody kept saying this. So I said to Sylvia, okay, November of 1989, we're not going to tell anybody. We're just going to pray about what God wants us to do with the future of our lives. And then after nothing happens, we'll say, nothing happened, get off our back. Yeah, how did that work out, right? So at the end of November of 1989, totally unsolicited, we had five churches approach us about coming on staff full time. Okay, one, I would have said, yeah, whatever. Five, because God knows I'm a little thick. So five, though, there's God speaking through the circumstances of my life to say, hey, I'm directing you. The other way God speaks, is through other people. Have you ever had God speak to you through someone else? I had a couple of recent incidents around this. While I was sick with shingles, someone in our church wrote me an email that was really prophetic, was just telling me about some things and speaking into my life, what the Lord had put on their heart to share with me about my life. And it was amazing how encouraging and right and affirming and it was. And I thought, wow, that's God using someone else to speak to me. On Tuesdays, we have staff meeting in the fireside room. And a few weeks ago, Kim was leading us in a time of prayer at the end, and we've been talking about the future of the church and all of that. And Kim just led us through this prayer time, and it was around what does God want you to do and what does God want you to be? And in that moment of just silent reflection, as she had led us through this prayer time, God spoke very directly two words into my life about doing and being. Again, God was using Kim to help the Spirit speak to me. God works through other people. Here's another way God speaks to us: dreams. The Bible shows us that God speaks to people through dreams. Did you know the Bible records around 320 dreams that God used in people's lives? In fact, there's these amazing verses. They won't come up on the screen, but I'll give them to you. Job 33, verse 14 and 15, it says this: for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on the people as they lie in their beds. I don't know, have you ever had God speak to you through a dream? For some people, it's a very common experience. I've met some people, God speaks to them all the time through the dream. For other people like me, it's basically rare or non-existent. But it's incredible as you read about the Muslim countries. And one of the main, if not the main way, people are coming to faith in Jesus in these Muslim countries is through dreams where Jesus appears to a person and speaks directly to that person. It's powerful. Now, let me just be clear. Not all dreams are from God, right? Like, my dreams, I don't usually remember them, but they're really bizarre. If they're from God, I'd have to go into therapy. I mean, they're really strange, right? Sometimes dreams are just, you ate too much bad pizza that night, right? So don't attribute, but sometimes God can speak to us through dreams. Here's another way God speaks to us. We see this in the Bible. You sometimes hear stories of this. I've never experienced this, but through an audible voice. On rare occasions, people hear God speak through an audible voice. We see that with Samuel, right? We see that in Revelation when John turned and saw this vision of Jesus and heard things. So it does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. I've heard people in modern times hearing an audible voice. It can happen. Here's one of the key ways I think God speaks through to us today is through promptings. Galatians 5:25 says, if you are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit is prompting us all the time. And promptings often come through an inner voice or an impression. And these promptings usually prompt us to say or do something. And I believe as we go through our days, We are regularly experiencing promptings from the Holy Spirit. Whether we recognize them or not is another thing. In fact, I believe promptings from the Spirit should be a normal, natural part of a follower of Jesus' life. However, as I've already mentioned, we're often too busy, we're often too distracted to recognize and follow these promptings. So here's the question. How do we hear the quiet voice of God over all the busyness and craziness in our lives? To do that, we need to practice the presence of God as we journey through our days. And how can we practically do that? Well, I don't have time today, but on May 8th, we're going to explore that together because this is such an important thing about walking through our days with God and practicing His presence. And as you walk through your day, as you practice the presence of God in your life, as you journey through your day, you'll be more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, here's one thing you can do practically this week. As you go through your week, simply pray. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you go to the baseball diamond, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you go to work, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you go into your neighborhood, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you go through your week, just pray that simple prayer to God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And see what God does. Here's a question before I get to lesson four and then we close out. How do I know if God is speaking? How do I know if it's God? Here, I'll give you two ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit will never lead you in a way that is contrary to the teachings of Scripture. The Holy Spirit's leadings, promptings, speaking to you will always line up with the Bible. If someone thinks they hear something from God that conflicts with what the Bible clearly teaches, then they have it wrong and they haven't heard from God. Right? More than once in my 33 career years as a pastor, I've heard people say to me, God is calling me to leave my spouse and go hitch up with this other person. No, they're not. Let me just be clear. No, wrong. You didn't hear from God. You heard from some other places, but you didn't hear from God. Right? Second way is Proverbs 11:14 has some really good advice for us. In the presence of many counselors, there is safety. If you sense God is speaking to you and it's sweeping consequences for you and your family, like back in November of 1989 when I had those five places come and say, do you want to come and be on staff as a pastor? In that moment, I found some mature Christ followers that I knew. And I said to them, look, this is a huge change for Sylvia and myself. And I described the situation to them and I said, do you think God's speaking to me or do you think I got my wires crossed? And I think if you sense God is speaking to you and it's a major change in your life, it's good to be in the presence of many counselors because there's safety. All right, lesson four, quickly. It is not enough to hear from God, you got to respond. When God speaks, we need to respond in simple obedience. This is often where we get hung up because responding to what the Spirit is prompting you to do can mean taking a risk. It can mean stepping out in faith. It can even sometimes mean look a little foolish. And all of those things cause fear, and fear stops us from doing it. Can I encourage you, don't let fear win. Throughout the day, ask the Spirit to fill you and prompt you. And as the Spirit fills you and prompts you, be relentless about saying yes and obeying. If what you're prompted to do lines up with the clear teaching of Scripture, act on it. One of my desires in my 60s is to live what I call a say yes life. Where I go through my days saying yes to God. Where I say, God, you're prompting me to do this? Yes. Am I living that perfectly now? No. It's my goal, though, to live a say yes life. That when I'm prompted by God, I say yes, I lean into it, I take the risk, I step out in faith, I risk looking foolish. Because when you do that, you see God work. And please know this. Our role is simply to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We need to trust God for the results. Please understand that. Success is in obedience, not the result or the outcome. The outcome is up to Jesus. God wants to speak to you. The question is, are you willing to listen and respond? Let me close with two quick things. Number one is some of you may want to do some more reading, thinking, diving in on this. Here are three great books. Listening to the God Who Speaks by Cross Brockmuhl. I first read that when it came out many years ago. I still read it regularly. It's an amazing book on listening to God. This is a brand new one, really, really good. How to Hear, a Simple Guide for Normal People. I think you can get that at the Christian bookstore, or you definitely can get it on Amazon. And Dallas Willard, one of my spiritual mentors, never met him, but his book sure mentored me, is Hearing God. Something about conversation. There we go. I got to read it here. Developing a Conversational Relationship with God. So those three books are awesome if you want to dive deeper. If you don't get them, we'll put them on our website, and you can get the titles off there. I want to close with this. Psalm 85:8 says this, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. Let's make that our prayer. As people, as a church, let's make that our prayer. And so here's my encouragement this week. As you go through your week, just pray that very simple prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And let's see what God's going to do. Let me pray. And then we'll sing. Father, thank you for this great story. And I know you want to speak to us both collectively and individually. God, I just pray that we will be a people who will listen. May we go through this week saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then may we listen and may we respond. And as you do that, Father, I just pray great things will happen to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand with us as we close by singing, O Come to the Altar. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Come to the end of yourself. Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are been so good to be with you this morning, getting to worship our God together. Just before we go, I just have a few announcements. If you are looking to connect with someone here at Sanish Baptist Church, there is a little card in the seat in front of you. You can feel free to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate at the back, or you can go online and there is, or email office@sanishbaptist.org, and we will connect with you there. And if you need some prayer, there will be people up here at the front that would love to pray with you. And if you are not here in person, you can go to the website and click the prayer resources under the resources section, and someone will call you and pray with you. And also our offering. If you have offering today, you can drop it in the offering plate at the back, or you can always go online to sanishbaptist.org and fill out there. There's a giving tab. And at the back, there is a Serve the City booth. I encourage you to go there, check out what's happening, and we will see you there on April 30th. I'm just going to close with this benediction from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Have a great week.
team.